Welcome, everyone, to the Work the System podcast, where we help business owners smooth out their operations, produce predictable profits, and dramatic growth through the systems mindset, using that outside and slightly elevated viewpoint as described in Sam Carpenter's book, Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less, using that methodology to fix your business, help it grow, and build in that freedom that business owners, entrepreneurs are looking for. My name is Josh Fonger, and today I will be solo. Sam Carpenter can't join me, but I think you're going to find this particular podcast of use if you are serious about making a shift in your business. This is the mechanics, the how-to of powerful procedure writing. Some of these keys you'll find in the book, Work the System, and some of them you will not. They are keys that I've identified in the field working with companies. So I'm going to be going through a number of case studies explaining how this is applied, how this technique works, why it's important, because really there's no point in writing procedures unless you're going to get some ROI out of them. They're going to be useful. They're going to be used. They're going to reduce waste. They're going to add control. You're going to have less mistakes. You're going to use them for cross-training, improved customer service. All of those things come through procedures so you can scale and grow. And it's not just writing procedures, it's writing them effectively. And that's what we'll be talking about today. So with that being said, let me get to my list, the first one on my list. And if you want to follow along, some of these are actually in the book, the chapter on working procedures, which is chapter 11, page 118 in the newest version with the blue cover there. But that is on working procedures, chapter 11. And the first one is bottom up. Now, a lot of people don't understand what that means, but that means leverage. It means you are not, as the owner of the company, going to be writing all the procedures yourself. You're going to actually utilize your team. And this can even be outsource team. This can be even your contractors. This does not need to be someone who's literally an employee of your company. Usually it is. Now, I was working with a fence building company in Virginia, and this was really the bottleneck. The owner was writing the procedures himself. And I went out there and noticed they had an expert in installation. They had an expert in inventory. They had an expert in customer service. They had an expert in accounting. They had people on their team who were really good in this fencing business, but the owner was stuck doing the writing because, you know, he's the owner and he wanted control. And once we were able to make that shift to teaching, training, enabling his team to be involved in the writing and him in the reviewing, that's when leverage happened. That's when they were really able to explode the procedure writing. So number one, bottom up. If you're not using your team, then you're not having leverage, and then you will really slow down your procedure writing, and you won't have as much buy-in because they won't be involved. It'll be a top-down approach. Now, I do want to put the caveat in there. If you are a startup company or you're a solopreneur, you'll be doing a lot of the writing, but the sooner you can teach, train, enable your team to be involved in the writing and the reviewing of procedures, the better off you're going to be. Technique number two, best solution every time. Now, I was working with an e-commerce company. Actually, they did these high-end wearable tattoos, kind of a neat company. And they had a situation where they had a lot of nuance to their customer service department. I'll put it that way. A great company, growing really fast. And you know, one of the situations they had with their procedures was that they always had an exception. You know, different employees would utilize the procedures in different ways, based on different relationships they had with celebrities and influencers online, since they were on social media a lot, JV partnerships, and just customer service in general. Once they realized the procedures had the best solutions or should have the best solutions, and that since they had the best solutions, they should be used every time, that's when their procedures became immediately more impactful because they took the time to write them better. And then they could actually get the full benefit because they used the best solution instead of trying to innovate on every single situation, which when it's a small company, it's okay. You know, there's only five customers, but they had hundreds and hundreds of customers a day. And once they realized their procedures were for the best solution and they could trust it to use it every time, that's what really unlocked that for their procedure writing. The next thing on the list here is it's not just for obvious problems. So as you write your procedures for your business, don't just get stuck on the most obvious situation. So for instance, if you are on a sales team, then obviously your sales script would make sense. If you are building widgets, it's how you build the widgets. Now, I was working with a leak detection company out of Panama, actually, and so they would find these leaks, and then they would find ways to identify them and then fix the problem in commercial and residential real estate. And they had a problem. It wasn't a big problem. Actually, they didn't even know it was a problem. It was how they handled buying miscellaneous products, like concrete or materials to dig holes and or to add fill, landscaping fill. And they would do it odds and ends a couple times a week. Sometimes it was the supervisor going out there. Sometimes it was the owner. Sometimes it was the owner's wife. Sometimes it was one of the field guys. But they had no rhyme or reason to do it. And I said, well, why don't you write a procedure for that? And they thought, well, you know, our company's not really based on picking up these products here and there. And it's true. It wasn't a core aspect of their business. But when you did the math, the time, the energy, the coordination, the waste, it was worth procedurizing. Not core to their business, but it did save them time, did save them money. And it was worth it. And that's part of the idea of making a perfect company with procedures, is that you eliminate all the problems, even the ones that are not core to your business, because it's going to allow you to grow, because you won't be distracted by things that take you off task. You know, sometimes the owner would literally lose 4 hours in his day due to traffic, due to picking up materials at the last minute and doing deliveries. Now, 4 hours wasted for an owner to pick up two bags of concrete is a problem, major problem, actually. So they wrote that. And so the point is, not just for obvious problems, you really want to procedurize everything. Now, let me take a quick break here, in that procedurizing everything is overwhelming, and I'm not going to mention a lot about the technique with how to procedurize everything in your business, but if you don't have a procedure project plan, you're going to want one of those. That's an opportunity to list all of your procedures you're going to do and prioritize them. All right, enough on that. Next thing out of the list of eight is make sure it's written for off-the-street people. Now, this is not derogatory. This means someone who's hired to your company today can read this procedure and actually use it, right? They don't need to decipher a puzzle. They don't need to have some superhuman strength to read your mind and the other employees' minds. They can just read it and use it. Now, I was working with this Canadian marketing company, and a side note here, if you live in Canada, I love working with you all. I just don't like flying up to Canada. I have the most issues with the border. I don't know. Something, I must be red flagged, but whenever I go to Canada, I have a hard time crossing the border. But anyways, so this Canadian marketing company, two brilliant owners, and they wanted to scale their business, and they were writing procedures. Great idea. And they had a lot of their team in Eastern Europe, and they found that the team kept making mistakes. Obvious mistakes to them, not obvious mistakes to their employees. And finally, it got to the point where I said, you know, you're not writing these for the audience. The audience here, the ones who are going to be reading these procedures, English is their second language. Some of them don't have as much technical skills as you. Some of them aren't thinking 10 steps ahead like you. You need to write it for off-the-street people who can literally take it and follow it. And once they had that in their mind, they had to refine this procedure, certainly, but then they could actually grow, and then they actually could hold their team accountable. They weren't held hostage by their two or three best people. Anyone could come in and plug in and do the work, which made a huge difference. So that's another key to powerful procedure writing, is write them for the right audience, for people that are going to come in with those prerequisite skills. That's who you're writing the procedures for. Number five on the list is precision. Precision is critically important. Now, strategic objectives, operating principles, you're going to write those first, of course. Those are going to help you be laser focused, understanding exactly the direction you're going, how you're going to get there, and the way you're going to make decisions, the way you're going to operate and handle sticky or gray areas. And in that strategic objective, you're going to talk about being the best, about getting somewhere, getting there fast, getting there the right way, and how you're going to proceed. And likely in that strategic objective, you'll talk about being very good at what you do. And very good is not average, and it's not how you're doing things right now. Likely it's a step up. It's a step up that you've never been able to achieve before because you've never taken the time to write the procedures. And now writing the procedures allows you to make that step, but you need to teach your team how that's possible, why it's possible, and why it's important. Now, this furniture store I was working with, the owner could never hand off the phone to anyone else but herself, and there was about 10 employees in this furniture store, because what if they wanted a return? What if they wanted to change their order? What if they wanted to check on inventory? What if they wanted, and there was all these what ifs. And so she wrote a procedure, but she didn't write it precisely. She just wrote it, you know, send the phone call over here, double check this one paper and get back to him with this answer. It was very generic. And once I said, you know, you're trying to be perfect at this, not just average, but perfect, because if you go average, you're going to have problems. And she did have problems. And the point is she moved towards precision and being perfect. So she literally had the right answer for every single one of those questions. And it took some time. It took some time. But the point is, if she wrote down in her strategic objective, she was going to be the highest quality, best customer service, most responsive, accurate furniture store, that was not going to happen by default. And her team, as they first wrote procedures, they just wrote procedures the way they always did it. But the point is, we were moving towards that strategic objective, and that's what inspired them. That's what they got them excited. And then the precision with the procedures really started to happen. I think that's really important. A lot of companies miss that. The employees and the owner think, well, let's just write it how we always do it. But you're missing out on an opportunity here. You're missing out on the opportunity to move from 85% to 98% perfect, right? And if you compile 100 procedures that take you from 85% to 99% or 98%, that's a big difference. That's a big difference in the bottom line. And that's the precision you need to get to. All right, number six, speed. Sam loves this one. He calls it point of sale. But speed, the speed at which you do procedures is critically important, because your people want to see that something's actually happening. They want to see the movement. They want to see we're actually engaged, we're focused, we're getting somewhere. If you start a procedure and it doesn't get finished for 3 months, there's no improvement in 3 months. That's a problem. They don't really see that you as a leader are taking the company somewhere. So the key to powerful procedure writing is actually the speed at which it gets done, which means you have to break the procedures into smaller pieces, and they need to be started and finished quickly. Now, I was working with this multinational company in the farming industry. They produce products, chemicals for farms, and they got this for most of their company, but there was one department that did not get this, and this really slowed them down. Now, it was security. Now, security, there's a lot of parts to security in a company of this size. They had to do with email security, credit card security, traveling security, you know, convention security when they were traveling around. There's a lot of things that involve security and legalities, and the company was growing quickly, but they did not have any policies with regards to security, and they had lost some money, and they'd gotten into some trouble a few times. And so we had to get some security procedures put in place. My recommendation, which did not get followed, I wish it would have, was to break apart security into the various elements, you know, outside and slightly elevated, the system's mindset, take those separate pieces, make them perfect. You'll have a perfect company. That's all described in Sam's book. Now, this particular company decided that they would write a security manual, and it took them about 4 months to write the manual, and then they had to get that manual reviewed by all the various owners, which there was three, and then to have it reviewed by the various managers, which there was probably 15. And then they had to get their comments, review those comments. You know, I worked with the company for 9 months. It never got approved. The actual security procedures never got approved. So, you know, within that 9 month period, there was no improvement to security. That's very demoralizing, demotivating to the department working on that, and you have no improvement. So speed is critical. People want to see movement. So if you're having a hard time getting started, you know, I recommend carving out some time so you actually can build up some momentum and some speed. Sign up for one of our programs. Do something, because if you go at a snail's pace, then you will never get done and your team will be demoralized very quickly. So speed is important. Number 7 on the list here is the handoff. The handoff is a part that most people don't think about. They think they'll just write the procedures and then they'll just happen, right? I mean, they're in writing, so no problem there. Actually, it is a problem, because you need to make sure in the real world it actually happens that way. Now, I was working with a used car dealership in Boston, and this was something they got right. They had a feeling, and it was probably a true feeling, that their team might not actually follow these procedures once they were written and reviewed and revised and presented. And so what they did is they set up a series of systems to police their procedures. So part of powerful procedure writing is making sure they actually happen in the real world. So they had, once they did the release of the reviewed, approved, tested procedure, and they got everyone to initial it, and they did some training on the necessary ones. They did this on a weekly basis, very methodical. They set up policing procedures. So random checks. So some of the procedures had random checks, or someone would go in and see, were you doing it properly? They had checklists associated with some of the procedures to make sure, again, you check off the boxes, you initial it. Someone's going to go in and check some of those and make sure you did it properly. They also did employee reviews. So part of it was, here are the procedures, and every quarter we're going to review your work, and part of it's going to be reviewing how well you're following the procedures, and your pay is going to be based on it. So that helped integration. And then secret shopping. Now, not every company can do secret shopping, but they could. They could have people come in, be customers, you know, pretend customers, and then those customers could write reviews and let them know, how was their experience? Did the salesperson, you know, say this to them? Did they get these kind of price quotes? Did they get to test drive the car in this kind of way? You know, how did the lot look? Was it clean? All these various things could be done via a secret shopper. So that, again, made the procedure more powerful, knowing there's going to be that accountability. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You have to get creative. But the point is, don't just write it and think this is going to work. There's a whole lot more to it. There's people involved, right? This is dynamic. This is business. And so you have to be realistic. The realistic is, will they follow it? Probably not perfectly, unless you have a system in place to make sure the handoff goes well. From the writer to the real world, are you going to make sure it sticks? And the last thing on the list is, what did it improve? What did it improve? So this is actually based on a company I'm working with right now, a nonprofit in California. They've got about 250 employees, and they want to make sure that everyone is emotionally invested, because financially, not everyone's going to necessarily make a ton of money on every new innovation, or the owner, actually the CEO, the one running it. But the board of directors cares, the employees care, and they care enough to actually see something's happening. Right, and actually quantifying every procedure's improvement is difficult to do quantitatively, but qualitatively it is, if you're focused. And so I want you to keep this in the forefront of your mind when you go through and you start to systemize your business using procedures, knowing you're building these blocks towards freedom, is what did it improve? So every procedure, let's say you write a procedure on how to set up the boardroom. Well, what did that do? Well, it saved us some time. It allowed us to get the room just right to get a good first impression with new customers. It allowed us to save a little bit of time with regards to technology when we're trying to install the screen or the conference call system or the web conference system. It also allowed us to, you know, a whole host of things. So every procedure that got released, the question was always, what did this do for us in terms of saving time, in terms of saving money, confusion, cross-training, reduction in waste? Did it allow us to use a new technology? Do we think of an innovation? And this was ingrained in the back of every employee's mind as they were writing these procedures. So they thought, gosh, when I release this procedure, I need to tell the manager what improvement was made. And this kind of forced them to go a little deeper. And that's what you want. This is not a superficial thing. This procedure writing, as you'll know, as you write procedures and your team does, is it takes some time. It takes some thought. And the more thought that goes into it as it's being written, the more ROI you get out of the procedure itself. And so that's what we asked on every single procedure as it was released is, what did this improve? Right? Maybe it reduced confusion. Maybe it allowed there to be only one double check instead of two double checks. Maybe you got to reduce some steps. Maybe there's less chance of an error. Maybe it makes the customers a little bit happier. It could be a number of things, but all these things accumulated together would never have happened if someone wasn't focused enough to write it into the procedure and to push towards perfection. And this is why Sam's company is so much more profitable, so much more efficient, so much more effective, this company CenterTel, than anyone else in the industry, is because they push towards that and they want to see improvement out of each innovation. These micro innovations add up. So those are the eight key things to powerful procedure writing. And you know, the reason why I stopped at eight is because I wanted to keep this podcast short but useful. But there's a whole lot more. I mean, the way you lead is important. The way that you format the procedures is important. The way the software you use is important. The incentives you use with your team, how you build buy-in is important. The employee structure, to how you actually structure writing the procedures, allowing them to have enough time, resources to do it, giving them the skills to do it, the technology to do it, because there's a lot of ways to get procedures down on paper. Having a procedure project plan, as I mentioned in the beginning. Having a procedure project manager to manage this, and having a procedure for procedures. I mean, this is just a quick list here. But the point is, the eight I just shared with you are critical, foundational to making this project a success. If you want to actually get procedures that are useful, that have a big impact, you have to keep those eight things in mind. But there's a whole lot more. And we go through that in our programs, in the academy, in the group coaching, the consulting. We go very deep, very specific, and we hold your hand the whole way so it's a success. But if you're doing it on your own, keep those eight things in mind, because if you don't hit any one of those things, believe me, I have case studies of companies who have missed one of those things, and it doesn't go very well for them, and it doesn't go very well for the owner. And I do not want that for you, because I have seen companies go out of business who skip a few of these along the way and they try to shortcut a few things along the way, and it's just no good. So again, the eight things are bottom up, best solution every time, not just the obvious problems, off the street. Number five is precision. Make sure it's precise what you're doing. Number six, speed. Number seven, have proper handoffs, so the accountability is there. And number eight, what did it improve? So as you release procedures, what did it improve? Keep a running tally of that information, because that's going to be inspiring, motivating, and allow your team to know, you know, you as the owner know what you're doing, right? You're making a big difference. And just to sit on that issue for a second here, a company I've mentioned in a previous podcast, they wrote two procedures. Having to do with the shift change, and they had a first shift and a second shift, and they wrote these two procedures, you know, how to finish your first shift, how to start your second shift. Very simple procedures. It was a metal machine shop in Michigan, and they, you know, they didn't think much of these procedures. They just wrote them very quickly, and I said, well, what did that improve? And they go, well, it's helped our team finish their shift a little bit faster. And what did it improve for the new shift? Well, you know, they came to the machines, they were already calibrated, they were already cleaned up, they already had the right equipment there, they already had the right inventory set up. So the transfer was a little bit cleaner, and I dug a little deeper, and I said, well, you know, what does that mean for you financially? And he's like, well, I don't know, not much. And then we went a little deeper and we said, well, how much time does that save? How much waste does that reduce? And eventually we came to the conclusion that he saved about 10 minutes per employee per shift change. Now, on a production line, you're spending a lot of money on your people. And we did the math, and that was about $100,000 in savings a year for two procedures that in total took him about, I want to say about an hour and a half to write. So he invested an hour and a half on procedures. He pushed towards perfection. He made sure those new procedures stuck with his team. And he never really did number eight. He never really realized what it did improve. And so he wasn't very inspired. He thought, well, you know, no big deal. This procedure writing is kind of nice, but he didn't feel the difference, right? He didn't feel it. And so he had to be reminded that, yes, 10 minutes per employee per day actually matters. And in his business, I think there was around 40 employees that mattered a lot. All right, so keep that in mind when you write these procedures. So that's it. Those are the eight different keys to powerful procedure writing that's going to make the biggest impact for your business. As always, if you want more information, you can go to workthesystem.com. There's great blogs there that Sam and I write. There's more podcasts there, free resources, free procedures, free way to download the book. And then if you want some help, there is coaching, right? I do the one-on-one coaching. There is group coaching. We'll be starting another session up in mid-January, so look out for that after the new year. In the meantime, I also do some done-for-you consulting. So if you do want someone to help you with your business, I have room for one client right now. So if you're interested in January, I will have room for another client to do that. Well, thanks everyone for taking the time to listen to this podcast on the eight techniques to powerful procedure writing. And we'll be releasing another podcast again in a few weeks. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast channel and look forward to working with you in the future. Bye-bye.